Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
sweet memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country
as the revelation. All right. Seems like I'm reconnected. I don't know what kicked that phone off, but something cut my phone off. We're going to be in the fifth chapter, the last chapter of 1 John. All right. Here in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now, you know, that's a short verse, but it's letting us know that we have to be believers. In him that begat means a father. In this case, is God. And he's talking about that is begotten of him. Means a son. Happens in this case to be Jesus. You know, John here is making a point that one who cares for a father automatically cares also for that father's child. So we know if we love one, we must love both. But it doesn't stop there, because we have more than the Father and the Son. We have the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that we love also. And we are to love the Word, because it is through the Word that you and I can be and walk in obedience unto God. And you know, it's through that and being obedient unto Him and all that shows that we do really love Him. That when we say we love Him, we're not lying, because we're doing everything we can do to walk in obedience unto Him and His Word. Now, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. You see, right there is giving you exactly what I just told you. That by obedience, says by this, which is obedience, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Now, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. And once again, this relationship to God and obedience to His commandments are inseparable, linked together. Now, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and there is victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This whatsoever is actually written to every believer that is born of God. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, you know, there is all kinds of things connected. We know that there is conquering power through the confession, because God is sovereign over the world, and only through the Son does man have access to and find favor with God and the power to be able to go out and do whatever it is that God will call upon you and I to accomplish. And we can, because of the mighty Holy Spirit, the Almighty God, that is there giving us the power to do so. Now, 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. Because the Spirit is also of God. Now, he's talking about the water and the blood. And this is the water of Jesus' baptism and the blood of his atoning death gives assurance that the Bible message about Jesus is true. And have you ever really thought about the blood, the shedding of the blood? How many places did the shedding of the blood come from? Came from his 2 feet, from those nails. It was drove through them. It came from his hands. It came from the crown on his head. It came from the stripes on his back, came from where he was pierced in the side. 7 places on that body came that precious blood coming forth. You see, it's things like that that most of mankind never thinks about. There wasn't just pain in one place. The pain in those feet had to be terrible. Because in order for him to breathe, as he was tarring, he would have to push against that nail in his feet. To extend his chest to where he could breathe. And as he would tire and go, that body go to sagging, pulling against those nails that had his arms nailed to the cross. That pain from the piercing in his side and the blood and water came out. Those crown of thorns, as that head would move, had to be painful all the time. And we know the pain of those leather straps that cut into the flesh that caused blood to flow. Have you ever really thought about the amount of pain that was upon that one body? And he did it all for you and I, so we could have a way of making heaven our home. Now, 7. For there are 3 that bear record in heaven. You've heard me talk about that too before in my ministries. There are 3 that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these 3 are 1. The Word here is the Son of God. And there are 3 that bear witness in the earth. the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. And those three, once again, is the Son, the water, the baptism, and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And these three agree in one, Almighty God. And we know what lays within Almighty God, because we were told just before. Now, 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. The witness of God is greater. You know, here in 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. Be careful how you are walking today, what you are thinking, and more especially, what you speak. Your words has a lot to do with what is running your life and bringing out your character. 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now, I've told you everything that you and I receive comes through the Son. And the only way for us to make heaven our home is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way for you and I to be able to even go to the Father in prayer is through Jesus Christ, his name. He paid for it all. He that hath the Son has life. Once you have the Lord Jesus Christ in you, you have life. But he that has not the Son of God has not life. Now, 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, John sums up the message of this epistle. Many authorities in the verse at the word of life unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God is stressed in the original eternal life, and is contingent on personal trust in Christ. Everything has to go through Jesus in this day and time. 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You know, that's even our assurance of salvation. We know that he, there in 14 and 15, and we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him, giving us that assurance of salvation. And that, and giving us that assurance will lead you and I into a better confidence in petition, actually, and will lead us on into effectual prayer, prayer that is reaching where we aim for it to reach. And prayer that is in accordance to God's will. We don't pray for things that's outside of God's will. And how do we know whether it's outside his will or not? When you get ready to go to the Lord in prayer, have you been in the Word about it to make sure that it is according to his Word? That's what we need to do. Now, 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, and I do not say that ye shall pray for it. We're talking now about fellow Christians. He's calling them brothers, but we're talking about a fellow Christian. Now, you know, my footnote says that every Christian is liable to sin. Believers are to intercede for one another when stumbling occurs. Sin unto death. John may be thinking of the sins he has urged against throughout the epistle, refusal to accept Christ as God's incarnate Son, habitual disobedience to God's commands, and a consistent failure to love others. These are marks of an ungenerated person. John is not commanding, though he is also not forbidding, that prayer is offered for each people. And it goes on talking about sin not unto death. And these would be sins that do not mark deliberate and persistent rebellion against God. These are the sins every Christian finds himself subject to and must struggle against in themselves and like sin unto death. They do not constitute apostasy from biblical truth or failure to trust obediently in Christ. Forgiveness and reconciliation with God is therefore a possibility, and persistent prayer can make it a reality. Think about those things that I just read to you out of my footnote there, 16. But there's one thing there. And it starts off, my brothers means fellow Christians. And every Christian is liable to sin. Not that Christian that is born again. He's born again, he cannot sin. No. We are told that, remember? Back in the third chapter of this epistle. We read it when we first started through this. Now, being born again, we cannot sin. And you find that in the third chapter, 9th verse. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Can't get it any more plain. You see, that's what I keep talking about. Even in these study Bibles, you find things in them, their footnotes, that shouldn't be there. Man put it there, because that is man's thinking. But it's not the Word of God, was it? And it is right here in this same epistle. Now the word is true. It's the footnotes that sometimes you find a little faulty or a little weak, because they are man-made. They do help, because a lot of times they give us meaning of words that we really didn't have a definition for. But as far actually going by the footnotes, you've got to be careful to see how they line up with the Word of God. Because you see, that didn't line up with the Word of God. Now, right here in 18, tells us again, which lets us know what we read there in that, that Christian is liable to sin. Here in verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. You see, when you are that born again child of the living God, that power that lays within you and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit that is there, they're not going to allow Satan to cause you to sin and put that between you and God. Now, 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that we are of God. And if you are a born-again child of God, you will know that you are of God. And when it's not hard for us to look around us and see the wickedness that is laying all around us right now. And that's a lot. Now, 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. God knows his people. He knows you by your name. He knows every thought. He's got your name written down in heaven, and he's keeping record of you. Think about that. You don't hide nothing from me. You may hide it from mankind for a little while, but you don't hide nothing from God at no time. Now, this very short verse, we come to the end of 1 John. Little children, keep yourselves from idols, all idols. Amen. We don't need to be out here putting anything between us and God, or trying to make God second to something else and using it as an excuse. Well, I have to do this. I don't have time for the study of God's word. I don't have time to spend with him. I don't have time for church. You see, that's putting death before the Lord God. And that's to never be. Yes, we all have things that we have to do. But we do not allow that to come before the Lord God. That's why our lives are given to him. And when you really grow in him, you find out that he will supply your needs, and that things you think you have to do and not put him first, he can help you put them aside. Because he can help you with whatever you need. Whatever's getting in your way can be removed. And things put back in order as they should be. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, for your saints, wherever they are, we know that we have them scattered all over the world. And we know that some are walking in grave danger. Holy Spirit, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs, whatever their need may be. For Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. More than that, we pray that they'll all come out from behind that law that Jesus fulfilled and accept him as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours that has become filled with evil. Evil that, Father, a few years back would never have been thought of and has been brought forward. And the things they are trying to do today, even unto our children. Father, we pray that the leadership of our government and the leadership of our churches that has brought this evil upon the people of this land be replaced, Father, with ones that are walking in righteousness, that love you and the Lord Jesus Christ, love your church and your people, and this land, this country. Father, that will work with us to put our government back upon the foundation that it was founded on, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. We need more, Father, teaching of this word today than what we have. Help, Father, help us to see a few more churches that will set up studies, Father, of this word daily to give mankind of this land more knowledge and a way to make heaven their home. Now, Father, as we come to a close, we pray for our health and those that are part of this ministry. Keep us all, Father, in health. Keep us all safe. And Father, keep us in your word each and every day, learning, ever learning, so that we can be better equipped and able to do more work for you than we have been doing. Father, this is my prayer this evening. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great evening. May God be with you all. And that you're all well. And I pray that come morning at 10 a.m., you'll be back with me and back into the Word. Have a great night. Good evening, all.